Hallelujah! God is in a recruitment exercise here tonight. You didn't hear me. God is on a recruitment exercise here tonight. God has come to recruit fire carriers. Are you ready to carry fire to your generation? Let me hear you shout fire. Let me hear you shout fire. God will mobilize you with fire to rescue men from hellfire. Our Father, what you have come to do tonight is clear to me. To mobilize your foxes that will reap the harvest the wicked one was thinking he will have. To mobilize your foxes that will turn the enemies to your joy to sorrow. To mobilize your foxes, men that will do the devil a displeasure. To mobilize your foxes, men that will bring great harvests. Your battle axes by which nations will be subdued. Have your way very freely, Lord. This service is yours, precious Holy Spirit. Interrupt it whichsoever way you so design. We return every glory to the Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Be seated. Turn your Bibles with me to Judges chapter 15. Tonight I'll be speaking on the subject fire carriers for the final harvest. Fire carriers for the final harvest. It takes Holy Ghost fire to rescue men from hellfire. Hell has enlarged itself because fire carriers have become lacking. Excuse me, sir. Wherever fire is, it cannot be hidden. Have you seen a man on whom petrol was poured and fire was lit? And when the fire began to burn him, he sat down dancing. Who has seen one of such men before? If a man is set on fire, you can't control him. You can't hold him down. He can't sit down. He can't stand up. I pray that somebody under the sound of my voice tonight will be set ablaze in the name of Jesus. You're not ready for it. That's why your amen is not clear. I pray tonight that somebody will be set ablaze in the name of Jesus. permit me to read Judges chapter 15. I will read from verse 9, but I will tell you the story from verse 1. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. They pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why he come up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he has done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." I have good news for you. Every area of your life that has been bound, whatever you have been delivered in unto, tonight, the fire of God will settle the scores. That amen can be better. The fire of God will overrule the conclusions they have made about your life. In the name of Jesus. And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that you not fall upon me yourselves." And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee first and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with 2 new cords and brought him up from the rock. Put in another way, they brought him down from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was bound with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hand, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. This morning and this evening, I see God put something new in your hand. God is here tonight to do a fresh investment and mobilization for the final harvest. Follow me very carefully. Now from verse 1, you will discover that something happened to Samson. How I wish I can have the beautiful damsel yesterday that helped with my message. Can you come? Samson paid dowry for his wife. And I needed to let you know the dowry he paid for his wife was at the risk of his life. He had to go and slaughter 30 Philistines. He could have died in the hand of one of them. He loved his wife so dearly that he was willing to die for her. Jesus loves you so dearly. That's why he died for you. Jesus loves every mortal so dearly. That is why he died for all the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus paid dowry for every mortal. No mortal have any reason to perish. He died for every Hindu. He died for every Buddhist. He died for every son of the bondwoman. He died for every churchgoer. He died for every animist. He died for every atheist. He died for every mortal. He paid dowry for every mortal, not with silver, not with gold, but with his precious blood. But look around. His bride that should belong to him, that should worship him, that should serve him, some of them are Buddhists. Some of them are Hindus. They worship anything you can think of. I remember one of the times we went to India. The church where we were was on a mountain, and down the next compound were many cows decorated for worship. How I lamented that day. How I wish I had a cargo plane. I would have pushed all those cows inside, fly them back to Africa, and show them that they are meat for eating. They are no gods. Among those that Jesus died for, some of them worship anything. They worship goat. They worship cow. They worship elephant. They worship snakes. Some worship trees. Among those he died for, some worship anything. They worship the moon. They worship the sun. And every time my master moves around, how he is bleeding, how his tears are flowing, how he is in pain. My bride that I died for, they are married to another man. And I could just imagine that Satan will go to many of our streets. He will go to many of our nations. He will go to many of our villages, and he will look around joyfully and tell himself, thousands here, I'm taking them to hell. Millions in this country, I'm taking them to hell. Rejoicing that a great harvest is coming his way. Mortals for whom he paid nothing. So the Bible says it was a time of wheat harvest. The Philistines will come out and they'll look at the big field and they'll say, Kai, we are going to have great harvest, great harvest, great harvest, great harvest, millions and millions and millions and millions. Then one day, Samson stood up and said, the harvest you are expecting will not take place. Can I announce to you? The harvest the devil is expecting to have in your nation, in your community, in your family, around you, that harvest will not take place. The fire of God, the fire of God, we cancel that harvest. The fire of God will harvest for God, and Satan will lose the harvest. That amen can be better. So Samson sat down to think, what do I do? I paid my price for my beautiful queen, and another husband has taken possession of her. How do I answer my enemy? How do I stop the harvest that he is looking for? I can only do that by fire. Everybody shout fire. I can only stop the expectation of my enemy by fire. If I can find fire carriers, I will answer my enemy. Where do I find fire carriers? He went in search of fire carriers. When he came to the bush, he saw elephants. I have come to realize that what God will do in these last days is not by elephants. Elephants are strong. Elephants are mighty. Elephants are big. Elephants are powerful in themselves. God is not looking for elephants to use. If you are ready, powerful in yourself. If you are ready, very strong in yourself. If you are ready, boasting of your academia. If you are ready, confident in what you can do without God. You are not part of what we are talking about tonight. God has no need of you. God is not looking for somebodies. God is looking for the nobodies, that he who is somebody, when he is added to their lives, he gives them deliverance. Can I have four young men come to the altar for me quickly? He saw hippopotamus. He saw giraffe with very long neck. He saw hyenas, very strong and mighty animals. They were not good enough to carry his fire. Tell your neighbor, I am nothing without the Lord. Say it and mean it. I am nothing without the Lord. Paul said, the things that were gained for me, I count them but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He thought of instrument that he will use as fire carriers. And he settled on feeble instruments. Foxes. Foxes. Excuse me. Compare an elephant to a fox. Compare a hippopotamus to a fox. What strength has a fox? What power has a fox? So he decided in using things that will never take the credit for what happens through them. He settled on capturing foxes. And as he entered into the bush, he saw a fox going this way. He pursued it. He ran after it. It was going in its own direction, doing its own thing. He hooked it. You can't continue in the direction you are going. You can't be available for what you have been available for. I need you. I want to use you. That's why I have caught you. I have caught you, and I caught you away from your priorities. I have caught you and I caught you away from your direction. I have caught you. I have caught you away from the purpose you are committed to. I have caught you. I have caught you away from every other thing to myself. Then he went again. He saw another fox doing its own thing, pursuing its own course, running its own direction. He ran after him. How I pray for you. May the end of God running after you be tonight. You have run your own way enough. You have pursued your own course enough. You have pursued your own desire enough. You have pursued your own ambition enough. Allow God to catch you. Let him catch you and cut you off from everything else so that he can bring you to himself, to his purpose, to his plan, to his desire, to his pleasure. Excuse me, sir. Until you are brought unto God's pleasure, you cannot be a displeasure to the enemy. Any life that pleases God displeases Satan. Any life that pleases Satan displeases God. Any life that pleases man displeases God. Paul said, if I yet please man, I cannot be the servant of Christ. So he caught the foxes. Come. As he caught the foxes, he now said to them, can I have your tails? Bring your tails. They surrender their tails. And then he tied them together, 2 by 2. The move of God, this last move of God, will be prosecuted by united forces. This last move of God is not a one-man show. This last move of God will be prosecuted by united hearts, united minds, men of like mind, joining forces together. Sir, the fire burns more when hearts are united. He tied their tails 2 by 2. And because he has brought them to himself, he now added his nature to them. His nature is fire. Can I hear you shout fire? Our God is a fire that consumes. He added himself to their united hearts and put fire there. He joined them together and put fire. Woe to him that is alone. If you are the type that goes around boasting, I don't have friends. I have nothing to do with anybody. I don't relate with anyone. And you are self-sufficient. Your end is not far. One will chase 1,000. 2 will chase 10,000. The Bible says when there is a unity of 2, there is warmth. But can I pray for you? I pray that any unity you are involved in that is working against your destiny, may God scatter it. Anyone that has come into your life that strangely is pulling you away from your source, pulling you away from his presence, pulling you away from the Lord and the King of your life, may that relationship scatter in the name of Jesus. Anyone introducing you to strange gods, the desire for breakthrough in ministry is so much in our generation that many, many, many people have gotten themselves entangled into satanic things. They allow every kind of hand come upon their head. Can I beg you? Do not give your head to any man whose life you are not sure of. I had a testimony of a man who committed adultery for the first time after his 70th birthday. Walk with God wonderfully for 70 years. And at his 70th birthday, one so-called man of God carelessly walked into the occasion and the conductor was intimidated by his presence. It was not on the program. The conductor invited the so-called great man of God to lay hand on the celebrant and pray for him. And he laid hands on him and prayed for him. And then who he was transmitted into him. Before the end of that day, he fell into adultery. He went to his father in the Lord and said, it has never happened. These 70 years I have walked with God. I don't know what befell me. His father in the Lord too was deeply taught. He said, go and come tomorrow. I'll talk to you. Let me ask the Lord what happened. The father in the Lord went to the place of prayer and the Lord said, ask him who laid hands on him. A strange hand came upon his destiny. Some of you are here. The troubles you are going through in life, the pains you are going through in life, the disgrace you are going through in life, the delay you are going through in life, the frustration you are going through in life was orchestrated by a wrong hand that came on your head. I was in Orlando with my wife and we met a dear servant of God. And she said to me, sir, unlay over my head the hand that has been laid on my head. I said, dear, I have not had that kind of request all my life. What do you mean? As you unlay over your head the hand that has been laid on your head. I have not had that. She said, yes, sir. My troubles dates back to a hand that came on my head. I had a guest. And as my culture is, and I bear her witness, I entertained them. Far away in America, I gave them Nigerian dish. Pounded yam, assorted meat, a goosey soup, draw soup to make choice, different kind of juices. And after they finished, I took $100 bill and I gave the man of God. Because I was meeting him for the first time. There were two, but I was meeting one of them for the first time. And as he collected the bill and having enjoyed the meal, he said, my daughter, come here, let me bless you. My daughter, come here, let me bless you. And innocently, she came and knelt down. And he laid hands on her head and spoke whatever he spoke. Guess what happened? The man left. The story of her life turned upside down. That same day, not the next day, she was driving to her office. She passed a traffic light. She didn't commit any offense. Police, very abnormal, pursued her, stopped her, seized her license. And they told her not to drive anymore in America. So many things scattered for her. Different progress she had made in life, she lost it. Because the wrong hand got joined to her destiny. How I pray for you today. Every wrong hand that has come over your head, that is the reason why your life has become what it is. May the fire of God remove the implication of that impartation. That amen can be better than that. After setting them on fire, he released them to run into the cornfield of the Philistines. Sir, that's exactly what will happen to you tonight. The fire of God is going to come upon your life. You are returning back to where you came from with fire. Everywhere you go to, the fire of God will burn. Conviction will be released upon sinners. Souls will be saved. Sicknesses will be healed. Oppression will be broken. Destinies will be recovered. In the name of Jesus. The moment they entered the harvest field, in no time, the whole field was harvested. So when the Philistines came out to come and see the harvest they were expecting, everywhere had been harvested. Can I say something to you? Every mantle that God has ever released is still here. The only man who tried to run away with his own mantle was Elijah. But while he was running away with it, there was an interruption from heaven. We don't need mantles in heaven. Mantles are only needed on earth if we can find a man to inherit it. If we can find a man whose cry is not for assets, whose cry is for access. My pain about this generation is that we are not praying, we are not crying, we are not yearning, we are not desiring access, we are desiring assets. Why do you want to be a man of God? You want to ride a Range Rover. You want to ride a limousine. I was preaching in America in September, and I was making reference to limousine in my own understanding as the most expensive car in the saga we have left there. They said there is one now they call Challenger, as I'm hearing that for the first time. Elijah was taking his own mantle to heaven. But God had an Elisha who was not looking for assets, who was looking for access, who was looking for mantle. And God said, Elijah, we don't need it upstairs. Release it. There is somebody downstairs. Can I say to you tonight, if there are young men and women, if there are old men and women, no matter your age, whose cry is for the mantle, whose cry is for access, whose cry is not for assets, great mantles shall be delivered tonight. Mantles of men like Smith Wigglesworth, the great man of faith, that will hold a dead man and push him to the wall. He will carry a dead man standing by the wall and say, walk in the name of Jesus. And the dead man will open his eyes and begin to walk. mantles of smith, witless wolf, the man who delivered men from appendix. Do you know how he delivered men from appendix? When you come and you say you have appendix, he said, "Bofa, blow your stomach." They will fall down. You will say, he has killed. He will rush there, pull the person up. Appendix has disappeared. Excuse me, sir. Our greatest problem against the sons of the bondwoman in this nation is our powerlessness. They will bow if they see the power of God. I don't belong to the camp that is itching to gather ammunition. I belong to the camp that desire to carry the dimensions of God that Samuel, that David carried. Let me explain their dimension to you. They sent so that David will be arrested. A battalion came to arrest David as they were coming. Samuel was having a meeting and David was there. The presence of God covered a circumference. And the moment they came close and they entered into that circumference, their motive changed. Their purpose changed. Their goal changed. Their pursuit changed. Instead of looking for David, all of them began to prophesy. Second battalion was sent, the same thing happened. Third battalion was sent, the same thing happened. Army commander in chief, Saul, decided to come himself. When he came in under that atmosphere, there's a conference. Suddenly, he also began to prophesy. He prophesied. He rolled on the ground. He prophesied. He rolled on the ground. That is the kind of presence I want to carry. That is the kind of power I want to manifest. That is the kind of day I want to live in. We are at the men here tonight who desire the mantle of Charles Finney, the man who will walk into a place, just looking into his eyes, conviction will seize everywhere. He walked into a meal. And one person just saw him and their eyes jammed. The person started weeping for his sin. Another person started weeping. Another person started weeping. Another person, conviction fell everywhere. And then the meal was forced to a stop because nobody was available to work. What a different generation ours is. I went to preach for a man of God some years ago, and conviction fell on the congregation, and members were confessing abortion openly, were confessing their wickedness openly. He was not in church. When he came back, he said, "I came to spoil show for him. I made these people weep. If you don't weep now, you weep later." How many of you are aware of that? If you don't weep when you should weep, to make your ways right with God, when you die, you will weep. Our beloved sister in glory said, "The weeping that you will weep, weep it now. If you don't weep it now, it will be late." Elijah said to Elisha, "Elisha, what do you want me to give to you? If it was you, I know what you will say. Give me the key to your car." What are you praying about always? "Oh God, that car, you must ride it. You must ride it this year. Car. Ah, your heart is small. What is the most valuable thing on earth? Human souls. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain this whole world and lose his own soul? Who are the most profitable men? Who are doing the most profitable business on earth? Those whose business is souls. Who are those that will be the happiest in heaven? The soul winners. Do you know the name of their crown? The crown of rejoicing. You rejoice all through eternity. What do you want me to give to you? I don't need your assets. I need your mantle. You know, some of us come close to certain men of God, and very unfortunately, instead of desiring what they carry, we desire what they have. Baba Adeboye told the story of when they went to the camp. Kenneth Hagin's camp in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they were given opportunity to ask for something. This one said, I want to be the distributor of your cassettes in Nigeria. He said, give him. I want to be the distributor of your books in Nigeria. He said, give him. Then it was his turn. What do you want? Say, what you carry. The grace you carry. The anointing on your head. That is what I want. Kenneth Hagin finished settling all the other people who wanted mundane things and released them to go. And then he told Baba, kneel down. And Baba came and knelt down. By the time his hand came upon him, he was gone. The rest is story. His testimony is still there. What do you want tonight? Do you want what it takes to reap the harvest for God? Do you want what it takes to populate heaven and depopulate hell? What do you want? So the Bible says, when that happens, the Philistines gathered themselves together. And they said, we are going to destroy something. But they are very much aware that something is not cheap to destroy. Help me tell your neighbor, I am not cheap to destroy. You see, I have a pain in my heart. Can I tell you? We have made the devil look so big and so strong, and our God so small, and his covenant not real. The situation is so bad that we have come to a state where if you want the people to wake up, all you need to ask them to do is to pray against their enemy. The enemy that is looking for my head, die, 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 die now. And several of you in the book of record in heaven are murderers. Excuse me, believe it or not, killers are what? Huh? You are not answering me. They are murderers. Who has the right to kill? Only God. God said, I kill and I make alive. No matter how anybody hates you, God has not given them the right to be able to kill you. And let me quickly say to you, beloved, don't be afraid of enemies because they are necessary. How many of you want God to prepare a table for you? Wave your hand at me. Thou preparest a table before me. How? So enemies are necessary for your table. Who did God use to prepare a table for Joseph? You are not talking to me. Enemies. Excuse me, oh. If Joseph had no enemies, if he had remained in Canaan, the throne God showed him, he would never have sat on it. But you see, the truth is that no matter the extent your enemies go, God will not permit them to cut you off. So the same enemies that pushed him inside the well, the same enemies brought him out, the same enemies sold him on his way to the place of destiny. So your enemies have contribution to your destiny. Several of you are here tonight. You'll agree with me that there are times that you sought God very unusually. You were pushed by enemies. Can I ask you, who did God use to prepare a table for Mordecai? So if Mordecai had killed Haman before then, what would have happened to the table? No one was qualified to prepare the kind of table that Mordecai prepared, that Haman prepared, that God used Haman to prepare for Mordecai. But sir, let me remind you, it is God that is judge. Some enemies, he will use them and judge them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not yours. Excuse me, sir. It's not yours. The instruction is, avenge not for yourself. Repay to no man evil for evil. Jesus said, you have heard them say, love your neighbor, hate your enemies. But I say to you, do what? You are not talking to me. Do what? I know some of you will not talk. Because the enemy matter is some people's mission field. That's where they feed from. I see enemies hunting you. They want to kill you. Oh yeah. This is how we are going to do it. You fast and pray 7 days. And then you bring 7 times 7 times 70 times 7. You have brought. Has he solved the problem? Tell your neighbor, I'm not at the mercy of any enemy. I know who holds the key of my death. Until he opens the door, I cannot be killed. What is his name? Shout the name very well now. Shout the name louder. The key of your death is not in the hand of witches and wizards. They can't decide when you will die. The army of Nebuchadnezzar, they gathered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were going to waste them. They ran to the fire and threw them inside. Those who entered the fire, he locked the door of death. They will not die. Those who threw them in the fire, as they were going, he opened the door of death. They all died. So who decides who dies? The same lion den that Daniel entered and came out alive, they entered, they were purposeful. Because Daniel knows the one who holds the key of death. Nobody should be intimidating you. David said, I shall not die, but live to declare the words of the Lord. Can I hear a good amen today? If you have a reason to live, if you have a purpose to fulfill for God, no AK-47, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. So the Bible says the Philistines decided to go against Samson. But they knew they are not a match. So they mobilized his brothers and sisters. 3,000 men to go and capture one man. Let me tell your neighbor, you are not small. You are not small. Say it well, you are not small. Even if people underrate you, Satan doesn't underrate you. They are going to capture one man. How many people were used? 3,000 to capture one man. They were going for David. They told themselves, 12,000 people should go to capture this man. Can I have another 3 young men come here quickly? 3 young men. Or 4 still. 4 young men. I wish people that are not in white, maybe another color. 4 young men. Thank you. Thank you. Are you following me? If you are following me, shout amen. 4 young men, I have 3 here. Okay, thank you. The first to arrive. Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's beautiful. This is Samson. 3,000 of his brothers came. The enemies. I don't like to go to that because it will take me too far. They pitched their tent in Judah, and they spread plenty. Let's leave that one alone for another day. So they came to the men of Judah, and the men of Judah saw them and said, why are you here? We are here because of something. We have come to bind him. You have come to bind something? Yes. Can you do that for us? Yes, sir. You are our masters. Where was Samson? Samson was on the hill. Samson was up. Can I pray for you? Every conspiracy to bring you down from the height God has placed you in life, in your family, that conspiracy has failed. That conspiracy has failed. So when they couldn't reach Samson directly, they mobilized his family. And Jesus said, a man's foes are they of his own household. Excuse me, sir. The worst enemy you can fight, members of your family. If the devil decides to engage them, it's terrible. But if you follow the principles of God's word, victory is absolutely sure. Love your enemies. 3,000 of them climbed up to Samson. What were they coming to do? To encourage him? Push on? Ride on? Keep doing the work of God? No. They came to Samson. I was having a crusade in Ojo some years ago. And as I finished preaching the first night, the next morning I was going to where I would do counseling. Then I saw one woman walking at me like this. And I said, no, I stopped. He says, huh? Since I listened to you yesterday night, I can't sleep, I can't eat, I can't do anything. Something told me that I should come and report myself to you. I said, go ahead. He says, sir, I'm a witch. Oh. I have bewitched many people, including my children. Sir, I have 10 children. I have bewitched the 10 of them. This one that I came to you with is my last born. Even this one, I have rendered him impotent for life. I said, Mom, you did that to your children? He said, yes. So that young man will grow up. The mother had used up his fertility, his usefulness, his productivity as a man. Can I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice? Whatever damage witchcraft has done to your destiny, you are rescued from it now in the name of Jesus. Whatever they have taken away from you by the power of the Almighty God, it is hereby restored in the name of Jesus. I traveled one time and I came back. I met a woman. She waited for me some 2 days. Mom, why did you leave your house and you are waiting for me? What's the matter? He says, I am a witch. You are a witch? Yes. I've harmed so many. And I've rendered my children useless. Say, look, I have 3 children in Abuja. All of them walk like elephants. They eat like ants. Because Satan gave me a big stone that I have placed over their head. When they want to rise, something pushes them down. When they want to rise, something say, where are you going? They try to rise, they push them. I said, Mom, can we strike a deal? Can you take away the stone you place on their head and then I will pray for them to be free? She looked at me and said, sir, I cannot. I felt like giving her a Holy Ghost weapon. But the Holy Spirit said to me quietly, Saul, the devil told you the truth for the first time. I said, Lord, why? He said, yes. What can ever make you think the devil can repair? He has 3 missions. What is his mission when he comes? The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything outside those 3 things are not in his agenda. But who can repair? Jesus came that we may have life and have it more. So if you have problems in life and you go to false prophets and they bath you in River Benue, if you have problems in life and you go to throw things inside the river, if you have problems in life and you go to prophets that burn white and red and blue and yellow candles, you have only gone for the devil to reestablish your trouble permanently. No devil can cast out devils. So they said to Samson, don't you know that the Philistines are our masters? You went and found your trouble. We have come to bind you and hand you over. What was their assignment? Number one, to bind him. Number two, to hand him over. I wish somebody that has a long handkerchief can borrow me one. Two people that have long handkerchief. This is small. Long handkerchief. Anybody? Long handkerchief. Or anything that looks like a rope. Quickly. Two people quickly. Anybody? Thank you, man. God bless you. Okay, one more. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So they say, Samson, our assignment is to bind you. The king. The first thing they did was to jam the hands together. What does the hand signify? Ability. Samson, what you could do for God, we have come to stop it. We have come to bind your ability. You must not be able to do what you used to do for God anymore. Your usefulness to God must cease, must stop, must come to an end. So they tied his hand. They tied his hand. Some of you are here. Divine ability was at work in you. You were doing great exploits for the kingdom. The grace of God was tangible. The power of God was at work. You will kneel down for 5 hours, for 6 hours. You are groaning. You are traveling. There was divine ability. Agents of darkness around you were aware of what God was doing in your life. Some of them came to confront you physically and directly. They say your prayer is disturbing them so much. But where are you today? You who could pray for 6-7 hours, you can't pray for 20 minutes anymore. Once you kneel down, headache will come. Once you kneel down, sleep will come. You that could bury yourself in the place of prayer, fasting for days. They bind you with ulcer. So now the matter is, if you want to live, stop fasting. They tied his hand, tied his ability, tied him with sickness, tied him with bad dreams. So every day you pray very well. That is the day a man will come and sleep with you. Every day you pray very well. That is the day a woman will come and sleep with you. So you are now afraid of praying so that you will not be defiled overnight. What have they used to turn you. They brought the rope and they tied the leg. They tied the legs. Samson, your speed is too fast. Your speed is too fast. Before we knew, you are here. Before we knew, you are there. Before we knew, your life is so fast. Your destiny is so fast. Where are you going? Let's slow you down. Destiny must start struggling. Start crawling through life. Excuse me, sir. Your life was not like this. You have lost speed. There is an unexplainable slowdown. Everything has gone down. Your fire has gone down. Your fervency has gone down. Your exploits have gone down. Your results have gone down. Your breakthrough has gone down. Your provision has gone down. Your supply has gone down. Your blessing has gone down. Everything has slowed down because they have tied your legs. You're crawling through life. Your primary school, very fast. Secondary school, very fast. Higher institution, very fast. You graduated, so fast. But they don't tie your leg. You have entered 40s, no husband. You have become desperate. And you are already considering having a child without a husband. I was in a miracle service, and this lady came, I didn't know. She was 44, 1 year to menopause, no husband. She was weeping all through the service. Don't just join people to laugh when you should cry. People were rejoicing. Miracles took place. But she didn't have a reason to join them. She was saying, Lord, if you don't answer me, when others go, I'll remain here. You must settle my case tonight. I finished preaching, I handed microphone, I sat down. When the Holy Spirit said, son, pick the microphone, go back to the altar. I'm not done yet. After ministry for 3 hours. Well, I stood up, I picked the microphone, and went back to the altar. And as I got to the altar, he said to me, there are two people here. They have been weeping all through the service. Tell them I've seen their tears. Tell them I've wiped away their tears. Tell them in 1 month, they will return back with testimonies of joy. And that lady was one of them. When I went and sat down, her weeping increased. When I came back to the altar, the message was for her. God is going to respond to your cry tonight. She said, So God, you remembered me. Thank you. She went home. In 3 days, the man appeared. And the man said, I have come to marry you now. Everything is ready. I don't like too much grammar. So how would you be knowing me today and you have come to marry me now? He said, I don't want to talk with you. Take me to your father. He said, okay, my father is a very strong man. Let's go to him. But on the other side, she was thinking, could that be what God said to me in that service? She didn't know God will answer in that magnitude. They got to the father. He told the father the same thing. I've come to marry your daughter now. Let's take dates. The man was confused for 2 minutes. Then he asked the young man a question. Did she tell you her age? 44. Okay. That's how long I have waited. You cannot be more ready than me. If you are ready, I'm ready. They took date. They did introduction. They did traditional marriage. They did wedding within 1 month. They wedded Saturday. The next miracle service was Tuesday. Don't tell me that is too fast. 44 years of waiting is over time. God will break that yoke of delay that has tied you down in one place. That satanic rope that has tied you down in one identity, in one place, God will cause that tie to be burnt off. And your destiny will be released in the name of Jesus. So when they tie the hand, they tie the legs, they now pick him up. Why did they carry him? So that they can hand him over. Help me ask your neighbor, what have you been handed over to? Some have been handed over to premature death. Some have been handed over to poverty because of the family they are coming from. Some have been handed over to generational curses. Moses had great encounters with God's power, with God's presence, with God's glory. But the family he's coming from have been handed over from anger, and anger haggard him. What destroyed his fathers destroyed him. David was a man after God's heart. How did he end in adultery? It was what his family were handed over to that finished him. What is true about you that is true about your family? What is the family history that is playing out in your life? A lady said to me, nobody exceeds the age of 40 in our family. And none of my father's daughters is in the husband's house. I am back home. A man said to me, nobody exceeds the age of 40 in our family, from my father and my siblings that have died. And they have said to me, you are the next online. I said, sir, you do nothing about it, you will follow. The father was a successful businessman. He was not sick. He just came to the market to do normal business. He slumped. That was all. His brother came to that age. He went to visit in-laws. Welcome, welcome. They gave him water to drink. There, he slumped and passed on. A young man meant to be a dynamic servant of God had a dream one night, and then they gave him a cup of power. He woke up from that day. Anytime he's trying to break through in ministry, a desire to drink will come. And he will go to a hotel and drink himself to stupor. 2-3 days he's still there drinking. He will tell people lies. My wife is about to die. She needs blood. Send me money. They'll send him money. He will drink more. And when that thing comes from him, he's so ashamed of himself. A man came to me, he said, sir, I had a dream. Somebody gave me a stick of cigarette, and I put the stick of cigarette in my pocket. After that day, once I begin to operate in ministry, a desire to smoke will come. I will go and buy a cigarette. I'll be smoking secretly. The devil will arrange it, they will catch me. When they catch me, the church will reject me. They'll post me to another place. They kept posting him until no place to post him again. They sacked him. What have you been handed over to? Everything you have been handed over to that has wrecked your destiny, tonight you will escape. Tonight you will escape. God is going to visit you. God is going to rescue you. God is going to liberate you in the name of Jesus. Can I find some 10 young men there? 10 young men. Just stand here quickly. 10, quickly. 10 young men. That's okay. That's okay. Just stand there. Just stand there. Okay, okay. You are fine. You are fine. Just stand there. Just move back a bit. You are fine. Move back a bit. Move back a bit. Move back a bit. Back a bit. Keep moving. They'll ask you to stop. Keep moving backwards. Where was Samson? Samson was up. Hand tied. Legs tied. And then they brought him down. They took him. From his height. They brought him down. They brought him down. And they took him to Lehi. Listen to me carefully because this is very critical at this point. Where did they bring him to? They brought him to Lehi. And Lehi means jawbone. What is the meaning of Lehi? Jawbone. In that place, what is common is jawbone. I think they used to slaughter a lot of donkeys there. So the remains of donkey's bones are there. So they dropped him. Dropped him. Dropped him. Dropped him. Put him on the ground. No, stand him. Yeah. Dropped him. The moment he landed in the valley of dry bones, the Philistines began to shout, "We have overcome. We have got him at last. We have won. He is here. He is here." Listen to me carefully. Their shout of triumph, the noise of victory that they made, provoked heaven to do something. And when he came unto Lehi, somebody has come unto Lehi here tonight. This square, this place where the crusade is holding tonight is your own Lehi. You have come to your own Lehi. All that have shouted your destiny down will go down. They will be silenced. They will be defeated in the mighty name of Jesus. The moment he landed, they shouted. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. That is the point we have come to tonight. No matter what the wicked one has done before now, your ability tied, your speed tied, your hand tied, your leg tied. They have finished their part of the story. God is about to start his side of the story. When they have finished theirs, they have shouted, they have confirmed, they have overcome, they have finished something, they have seen his end. God took over. God started his own. And the Bible says he came mightily upon Samson. I have good news for you. The Lord is coming mightily upon somebody here tonight. That person's amen is the loudest. The Lord is coming mightily upon somebody here tonight. The Lord is coming mightily upon somebody here tonight. The Lord is coming mightily upon somebody here tonight. In the name of Jesus. After this visitation, your life will go forward. After this visitation, your ability will return. After this visitation, your speed will be restored. After this visitation, you will do more than you have ever done. When the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, the first thing he did was to burn the rope on the hands. And then the hand became free. Come and let them see your hand. The hand became free. The fire burned the rope on the leg. The legs became free. He jumped up. 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 And God said, because you are free now, I can engage you for my service. Because you are free now, I can invest something fresh in your life. Because you are free now, I can put something new in your hands. Because you are free now. Suddenly, he found the jawbone of an ass. He found the jawbone of an ass. Something new. Come and raise your right hand. God is putting something new in your life today. There will be a fresh investment. There will be a fresh endowment. Something new, an addition is coming to your life that will multiply the level of your exploit, that will multiply the level of your resolve, that will change your frequency of operation. God put something new in his hand with a jawbone of an ass. He faced 1,000 people. Come on. Yeah. Pia, 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 pia. With a jawbone of an ass, heap upon heap. Before he slew 30, before he slew hundreds, now he has become a captain of thousands. A shift, a supernatural shift, a supernatural shift. Somebody is experiencing a supernatural shift. Your level is changing. Captains of 50s will become captains of hundreds. Captains of hundreds will become captains of thousands. Captains of thousands will become captains of millions. Captains of millions will become captains of billions. These past few days, God has been preparing us for tonight. He has been preparing vessels that will carry his fire. His fire back to Makurdi. His fire back to Benue State. His fire back to different parts of Nigeria. His fire back to Africa. His fire back to Europe. His fire back to America. You may be listening to me online. Wherever you are, whichever country you are watching from, I'd like to tell you, God has been preparing you for tonight. He wants to make you a fire carrier to rescue men from going to hellfire. God wants to make you a fire carrier. A fire carrier. You may be like a fox. You may be like a non-entity. You may be like a nobody. You may be like a weakling. But listen to me. If the Spirit of God will come mightily upon you, heap upon heap, heap upon heap, heap upon heap, heap upon heap, heap upon heap. Your testimony will be heap upon heap. Your testimony will be heap upon heap. Heaven is set. God is set. We are the fire carriers. We are the fire carriers. You want to carry fire for God? Can you come? Can you come? Can you come? You want to carry fire? Fire back to your nation. Fire back to your city. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. You want to carry fire? You want to carry fire back? God has been preparing for this night. God has been preparing for this night. God has been preparing you for this night. You want to carry fire? Fire. Holy Ghost fire. Father, I want to carry fire. I want to carry fire. I want to carry fire. I want to carry your fire. I want to carry your fire. Yes, the cattle. Yes, the cattle. Babu day. Yes, the cattle. Nina Sotoye. Semila Kuta Yatania. Yes, the cattle. Babu day. Yes, the cattle. Semila Kuta Yatania. Yes, the cattle. Babu day. Yes, the cattle. Yeah.